See, he's had so many.
Wait, wait, save it for the fucking.
Yeah, wait, yeah. I can't wait to hear. The pod, bro. I'm salivating already.
Today's a special episode. Here at Something Went Wrong, we like to reward our fans, okay? And there was a very special fan, our biggest fan of the show, that wanted, you know, I was like, you know, it'd be nice to like give them the experience of actually coming on the show. Michael Sorrentino, is
yes.
it?
Yes.
Mike is a big yes. fan of the Something Went Wrong yes. podcast.
You may know me as Mike the Situation. It could be the Investigation, more so new to everyone, the Publication.
Yeah.
It could be the Destination, but you were just witness to the manipulation of all these wordplay.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually have a fan badge.
Yes.
For this man right here, which tells you how good of friends we are. I have like the official Facebook fan badge for this man right here.
Did you know that? Like, no. I think if someone like watches enough clips or something, yeah. they get like a fan badge.
Oh, yeah.
So we're filming yes. the show. Where were we? Somewhere like in Arizona or some shit. And he like, just like, he's like, yo, look, I got a fan badge.
Yep.
Because what happens is like, I get in trouble for all the wild shit that I say, uh-huh. right?
Yeah.
And, but Mike loves it on the low. Like in the room, he's like, this is disgusting. How could you? How could you eat ass? How yes. could you get your ass eaten? But then when yeah. the cameras go off, he's yeah. like, yo, bro. Yeah. He's yeah. like, that's the shit right
my,
there.
My wife definitely warned me about going on this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. You know you're doing something right when yeah, the wife yeah. got to warn yeah. you about the podcast.
You're PC now more.
I mean, listen, I think I've gone through everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you've, you know, been a part of my story, you know that you know, one of the biggest savages there is. And then, but I made it to the other side where most people want to go. They want to yeah. make it to the other side, away from the partying and the drugs, and eventually get to their happy ending, which usually is a family and kids, and which I've made it there.
So. Well, that's the thing. I don't think he's PC, but at a certain point, you have to be respectful to your wife,
yes,
to your partner, to your yes. children.
100%.
Like when I don't have any of those,
yeah,
so
exactly.
I could just be fucking ratchet. You know
yes,
what I mean?
100%. That was definitely a tricky point for me when I was writing my book, that I had to walk that fine line of being a husband and a dad first, but I also had to narrate and articulate my younger years in TV and in show business, which were crazy.
You know? Yeah. And Mike knows that, like, you know, things are controversial and it's not bad. You obviously don't want to be stupid and go too far, but at the same time, you know, like you wanted to tell your story
yes.
and, you know,
100%.
Things are juicy. Like yes. people are risk takers. You know, you can't always just play it safe.
Yeah. I told my wife, I'm like, listen.
I think put the mic closer to you.
I have to tell the truth mm-hmm. of what happened. But if I can articulate it and finesse it just right,
yeah,
it's not disrespect,
yeah.
which
yeah.
I believe I did.
Well, Sienna's like 17 years old. this is Mike the Situation. He was a legend. He is a legend. But back in the day,
yeah.
the first Jersey Shore, he was like, you know, the star because he was just so crazy.
I actually knew of him.
Of course.
Yeah.
He was the guy yeah, that you of knew of the show. But yeah, he was a savage. Obviously, he had a drug problem, and that's kind yeah. of what fueled it all.
I didn't even know it was a drug problem at the time. I just thought yeah. I was experimenting and partying like most people probably
yeah.
when
yeah.
they're going clubbing. They just, you know, experimenting and having fun, and eventually, you know, drugs and addiction doesn't discriminate.
Yeah.
It's like the body and physiology. Mm-hmm. And if you take too much of it, you're like, oh my God, now I need it all the time, and that's what happened.
What
that's
was the main drug?
I mean, it was to be honest with you, my main drug was more,
but
which is a good bit. But
yeah.
it was more so I loved pills mm-hmm. of all kinds. My bag was, you know, my Louis Vuitton bag was full of, at one particular time or most times, probably like 250 oxycodone 30 milligrams, then I would probably have probably about 100 Percocets as well, which were called bananas. Then I would have probably, I liked Klonopin and Xanax and Valium. So maybe I would have like 50 each of those.
Oh my God. It was like a pharmacist.
And then I'd also have some Adderall on me just to make sure, like, if you take too much of the downers, you got to bring yourself back up. So then I would have the Adderall. Imagine having that on you at all times. If you're mad, sad, you know,
there's a pill for that.
There's a pill for that. And once you start to play pharmacist, that's when obviously I had so many issues. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you remember like the first time? Because like, you just made me think of that. Like everybody thinks that they're just partying and having fun, but then somebody probably is the first one to be like, I think you have a problem.
Yeah.
Like, does it go so far back that it's that whole time is distorted? Or now looking back on it, was somebody like when was the first time it became a problem?
I mean, I used to be
just a party.
I was a drug dealer before I got famous. Mm. So I was like, in my opinion, I thought I was an expert at sort of being slick and finessing things and hiding things.
Yeah, yeah.
But eventually, you know, when you're in the makeup chair and you're sweating profusely in the morning and you're like, why is this person? I mean, those are definitely some signs there that you're just not being the healthiest. You know, and, but your question is
like, who called you out on it? You know,
I think one time Jenny did, which
also like on the show,
She did it. It was like first season press.
No, but I mean like while you were doing like, this didn't really happen before the show where like, it was like starting to creep into your real life. Like the, like, you know what I mean?
I went to rehab before first season for pills. And then the first season, I'm like, all right, I think I might have a problem. I'm going to just drink, which I did.
Yeah, yeah.
But then season two, once we get the money and the raise and all that notoriety, it kind of like was like gasoline to the fire. Mm. And I went to get a Ferrari with like 500 pills of rock sets in my pocket at the time. Mm-hmm. So that was like the start of it.
Yeah.
Whether producers be like chill or no?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I was a maniac. Yeah.
Yeah. He was crazy, but he was like good TV. Like, you know what I mean? Like he was like fighting with everybody. Yeah. He's bringing girls back to the crib, you know?
Threesome.
So what did what did Lauren tell you? You can't say on this show.
No, she was just like, you know.
I love
like,
Lauren. She's like my sister.
She's my superwoman, my wife, my best friend, my soulmate. And she's like, just be you, but also be mindful.
She that, doesn't trust, you know, no
you're,
more trust me.
You're a dad. You're a dad first and a husband. Because she loves us together, but sometimes he understands that I'll let loose a little bit in front of him.
Yeah. We bring it out of each other. Yeah. I was gonna say, first of all, he has a book out. That's why it's called Reality Check.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of this stuff he's talking about it, right?
Yeah.
Because you know, he didn't like go around just like spilling all these stories, but he has a book out. It's doing very well, you know, and that's what happened. Anyway, so I started getting like these Google alerts about all these orgies that I've been in with Mike.
Yep.
And since the book came out.
Because you went deep into the archives.
Oh. I did. Because it's a life story. Uh-huh. And it's a pretty wild life story.
Yeah.
It is. It could definitely be like the Wolf of Wall Street one day, you know. But I would like to clarify. So I don't really remember
An
orgy.
Which one?
There were a few times where I might like, because like back in the day, we used to like, you know,
he's had so many orgies he doesn't remember.
Yeah,
I can't keep. I've had 10 orgies this week.
He just doesn't even remember. He's crazy. He's like in this particular year. I don't want to cut him off. Uh-huh. He's like, I'm gonna, you know, cut him down a little bit.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Nah, that's Mike. Crazy. Mike, I'm dating.
Don't tell me the truth.
I'm dating with intention now. Don't listen to him. He knows. He only knows the ratchet me because I still talk ratchet. Uh-huh. But like, I haven't had a threesome in years. Actually, I don't remember the last threesome I had. I got to get one. Come on, Sienna. Let's
go. Never.
So like, I remember a couple times, like when we were in the city and shit like that. Like one time, I think like I hooked up with a girl like on the floor of your room. And you probably had a girl, and you know what I'm saying?
But people,
when they're thinking of an orgy, they're thinking of like everyone's fucking high-fiving, spitting in each other's mouths.
Okay, stop.
This was not, that never happened. Okay, we might have been in the same room.
I'm going to give some context. Uh-huh. We were in the same room. Okay. Paulie has confirmed it in front of him. Uh-huh. And we did stay on the op, kind of like in the same room, but the girls were kind of like running around.
Oh,
like,
there was many.
Yeah.
The girls were interchanging. I don't remember. Yeah, I don't
girls,
remember this.
The girls were going from.
Was it LA or New York?
Was it just you two and like a bunch of girls?
No, it was MVP.
Who's that?
Paulie.
Oh, sorry. Paulie.
Was this in LA or New York?
I think it was in LA, yeah.
That's
maybe,
crazy.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember.
It was in LA.
I don't remember.
You guys had each other's dick juices.
No, like I've never seen his dick. You know?
I guess. But
like I didn't think of it like
it
that.
It was like almost like from couch to couch, the girls would, yeah.
That, wow. I was like, oh, this feels like Mike's dick juice.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. I know this brand. I know this flavor. That's nah, we had, insane. we used to go out to clubs and shit like that, but I don't remember like I don't remember like a porn orgy. I thought that was my job. I thought I was like a porn star.
You had
star.
To have sex?
I was like, yeah, that's what Jersey Shore is. Like, we're just like going out and we're like bringing girls home and we're fucking, you know?
Well, no, I mean, listen, as a guy, young man in your 20s, you know, the goal is to be with a girl at the end of the
yeah.
night. Oh, hopefully. And most guys' dream is that.
Yeah.
It's the most important thing at the end of the night.
You were like chunky and now you were like cute.
Yeah, 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 yeah. No, the most important thing at the end of the night, and we kind of just had
He was always cute.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He's
thank you.
Cute, yeah.
No, but we kind of had these like superpowers now that we had fame. And, you know, at the end of the night, when you want to get laid, it's like usually it's hard for a guy to get laid.
Uh-huh. Yes.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? Even yes. a good looking guy, even me yes. now, I am yes. not just walking out on the street and getting laid or even in a bar or a club. You know what
so
I mean?
True.
So when we had these like, you know, powers of the girls just coming to us, we're like, all right, fine. Like, come back with us.
And even with the cameras, you would think that everyone would be standoffish, and it was definitely the opposite.
They were back there at the house signing.
Yeah, we were the ones that probably certain times building a tent under the covers.
Yeah, I remember that tent.
Yes.
But I did it with my dick.
Yeah.
The last time I hooked up with someone on a show, I think was Double Shot at Love or something like that. And the girl, she was on other shows before. And she was like, why do you want to go under the covers? She's like, we just do it on fully. You know what I mean? I'm like, no. I'm like clutching my pearls.
Yeah,
I'm like, I work with these people.
Yeah.
I know that producer. Yeah. She's looking at me in the other room, but not on the other shows, they that's just go all out.
Yes, I saw another show. I don't know which one it was. Maybe it was another Shore show. And it was actually on X in the past couple of weeks. I think we sent it in our group chat.
Uh-huh.
They were just straight having like an orgy or something.
Oh, you're talking about the Brazilian one?
Yeah, yeah.
Yo, the Brazilian one, this girl was getting double teamed on the show.
Like straight up like.
Yeah, two guys.
No fucks.
Two guys. And
they show like your boobs and everything?
Everything. Because I was actually on a show, the All-Star Shore one. I did it with the kid that was on that show.
Yeah.
And he's like, in Brazil, we don't care.
Yeah, it was.
He like I high five cameraman.
It was all over. It was all over X, and like they were like, not only was it like a tag team, but there was other people coming into the room and taking turns.
I was like, oh my god!
Oh, X like the porn site.
No,
Twitter.
Yeah,
Twitter.
That's X video.
Do you have a Twitter?
I don't use it. Okay. Ever. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Mike's big on X.
Oh
yeah,
really?
No, I have all the platforms. I have a nice following on each, and I used to just,
and I'm like his dirty little secret. He sends me these dirty videos from Twitter all day long.
He's my single little brother.
Yeah.
And that's it. We send each other stuff, and it's just like
amazing how you could balance out everything now from being in that world. Like you're still yourself, like you're still a little bit of a savage, and can like partake in the shenanigans without partaking in them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's almost like a discretion, I guess. Almost like you knowing who you are at the core, inside self.
Uh-huh.
And over experience and over time, you know exactly what to do and what not to do. You know, almost like a little risk assessment tool in your brain of what decisions you should make and what decisions you shouldn't do. Yeah.
I always said that too, because like if there's anyone's like marriage or something that I would have confidence in, it's actually his.
Really?
Because through his rehab experiences,
sobriety,
he learned like the tools of life that you just apply to anything.
Yep.
Being a father, being a husband, being a friend. You know, because I can see it because he's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see him like actively like pulling out these tools from the toolbox to apply it to everything that he does. So it's like, in a weird way, it's like if everyone went to rehab, like we would all be better people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we don't all have drug problems to go to rehab.
A lot of those tools definitely I use.
I can go to rehab. I have sex problems.
Yeah, yeah. To this day. I mean, listen, I don't, and again, a lot of people, I used to get tons of nudes being sent to me all the time.
Don't blow me up like that. It was just one time.
Times have changed, you know, as I'm a father and a husband. But people still send them, okay?
And you got to look away.
And no, like if they send them to, I don't respond to it.
Right.
You know, I mean, my wife will, you know, she has access to all my socials. She'll see all the DMs. And if people send like nudes or whatever, she'll see that it comes through. But I don't either accept it or respond to it, which means like that's the proper thing to do. You like walk away from the table.
Yeah, yeah.
If you entertain it though, that's the problem.
Yes.
Yeah, that's you getting closer and closer to temptation.
Like no following woman, right? Like random.
No, I do follow like people from work. Like like for instance, like, you know,
girls,
if somebody recently interviewed me for something and I consider them a peer, I guess.
Maybe.
And I'm sure girls try you even though you're married.
For sure.
They do. Yeah. Ironically, they do. And it's very surprising. Sometimes you'll get the hey in the DMs and you're like, hey.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's definitely suspect.
He just sends those to me.
Yeah.
And when I send them back, I'll send them a link to buy my book.
Oh, nice.
You want to sneak in my DMs? Okay, cool. Yeah. Here's a link to buy my book, and that'll be
Or send them Lauren's Instagram page.
You always want a family?
I always did. I always did want a family. Even in my crazy years, that was the end game as, for me, an alpha male.
Of course.
Yeah. I consider myself an alpha male. The end game was always family, kids, and continued success.
Yeah.
You know? And I definitely found that.
He just had a third baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like a week ago.
Like last week,
Oh, my God.
Yeah, three babies is kicking my butt. Three under three is definitely
challenging. Those life skills, you know what I mean? Like, what did you learn from that? That you can see yourself using like on an everyday basis, like practical things, you know? Remember we talked about like running the tape?
Oh, yes. Running the tape is huge.
Tell people what running the tape is.
I just sort of explained it a little bit. Running the tape is I think, a vital tool for anyone, any human being. Because and ironically, most people don't use it. And don't know what
it's a good
it is.
One.
Running the tape is almost what I like to call a risk assessment tool in my brain. So when I come up to someone and have a conversation in my brain, let's just say if that person is being annoying to me, my brain is probably going to tell me to walk away or be cordial or be nice. Something easier to explain would be if you're at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you drove there. Mm-hmm. Is it a good idea to drink and drive?
No.
Exactly. Okay. So you need to think in your brain, if I go to the bar, I should probably plan ahead and maybe go with my friends and have a designated driver. Also, let's just say that you're already drinking and you're at the bar. What things could possibly happen? Okay. I could crash. I can get hurt. It's going to hurt my wallet. It could hurt my relationship. Mm-hmm. I could kill somebody. Mm-hmm. So let's not do that. So obviously you would be proactive and you'd plan ahead and get a designated driver or an Uber.
It's like that girl in the DM.
Which one?
She says, hey. And you're like, let me run the tape on this.
Oh, yes.
I'll say hey back to her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a problem.
And then it's going to turn
out. The conversation.
Exactly. And then my wife, who has access to my socials, and I don't, you know, that's what's called a good marriage.
Full
transparencies. She's going to check and it's going to say, if I did say hey back, right now I'm entertaining it.
Uh-huh.
So now, no, I send a link straight back to buy my book and that's it.
So what? But besides that though, like being a father and all that stuff, because I look at your life and how challenging it is, you know, being a father.
I mean, I can see the same things in my son now. My son, he's two.
Mm-hmm.
And when I set up his breakfast or lunch in the morning, guess what he says what he wants every day?
Gnocchi?
No. What I just said the word 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago.
Alcohol. No, sorry.
Percocets?
Percocet.
No.
Vitamin. No.
I just said it.
His kid is 2 years old. We're joking. No, he doesn't have a pill problem.
He says more every day.
Oh, more. Oh, wow.
If I put on the tea, if I put on
Flintstone like, vitamins.
If I give him a thing of snacks, he says he wants more. If I give him candy, he says he wants more. Guess where he gets that from?
From you. Yeah.
So I have to be mindful.
I didn't think of that, genetically, watching those signs in your children.
It's more of just his personality. He's always going to want more. Kind of like me.
Yeah.
And that was my personality. I always wanted more. I wanted more fun. I wanted to experiment more, this, that, and the other thing. So now.
And then did you have, like, you didn't have the mentorship and the role model to kind of get that in check from a young age?
At a young age, I didn't have the knowledge of self. Mm-hmm. And most
no, but
don't.
You don't. But I'm saying maybe that's where your parents.
Oh yeah. You know, I mean, obviously, my son's going to grow up. His dad is a legend in the sobriety community. You know what I mean? Yeah. I give back. I mean, the New Jersey State Police just called me the other day, and they're like, you know, can we collab with you? I mean, imagine that day. Yeah. I got sent to prison a few years ago, and the New Jersey, the state, and their police, they want to collab with me. Which is
Romeo's going to be like, can I join basketball? He's like, no, AA, go right away, division.
No way, no.
Before it even starts,
are you still like more, or is it just like a contained version? You know, like I've heard, like an addict is always an addict, but now they're not doing it.
I mean,
yeah, he's still addicted to a lot of things.
No,
he's addicted to the drama.
No, more so.
He's addicted to working out. He's addicted to getting a haircut.
I am addicted to bettering myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. You switched the addiction.
I switched that that obsessive personality that was almost killing me to it's now, in the beginning, was to rebuilding my life.
Mm. Yeah.
And now it's to excelling and getting ahead for me and my family. So I'll take that over anything.
It's a good addiction.
It's positive habits.
But
now.
Also when you're sober, like I feel it's a way dialed down version of it. Mm-hmm. Like when he had that personality and was high, like those two things, it was like, I can't be around this fucking person.
Yeah.
But being around now is like, you know, I remember like when we first came back.
I'm still the same kind of, right?
You're still the same. But when we came back for like family vacation in Miami, I remember I'm like, I got to film a scene with Mike. I'm like, I can't film a scene. He's crazy. You know what I mean? Because every time that was my association.
Yeah.
And then like he gets in the car. I'm like, I can't have a conversation with this kid. Because the conversations back in the day would just be like, yo, bro.
I was destroyed like 10,000 times. So like. So me around that time.
So we filmed. And I'm like, filming with this like calm person. I remember he was like driving. And he like stops at the stop sign. He like looks. And he's like just like quiet, and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? I hadn't seen him in like 6 years.
I was destroyed 10,000 ways from Sunday at that particular point, because I had went through, you know, addiction. At that time, I was indicted by the federal government coming after me for millions. And I was almost homeless from, you know, spending about $500,000 on drugs and $1 million to defend my case. So I was really through a lot of wars in life.
Yeah, just one of those things alone could fuck you
insane.
Up.
Exactly.
Like just three one, of them
that'll
at
make
once.
Your addiction worse, all that.
Just one of those things people just they die from. They don't come back from.
Yeah.
And like I was like
especially prison, man. I don't know how I would handle
and,
that.
And prison. And they sent me to prison afterwards. Yeah. So like
Thank God you went to prison when you were reformed.
Yes.
And it was. Thank God that case took 6 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes. Everything happens for a reason. I'll be honest with you. I definitely fell heavily into my faith for sure. Mm.
Uh-huh.
And that also gave me the confidence to not only have confidence in myself, but my God above. Once I knew that I was a champion of addiction. Uh-huh. Which most people, unfortunately, they die from. It's very sad. I knew that I can accomplish anything, whatever it is, you know, it could be more TV shows. It could be write a book and become an author, become a father, become a good husband, change yourself. I did everything they said you couldn't do.
Mm. What kind of faith? Like religious? Or
My faith in
like
God.
How do you, in the Almighty what's your above? Like relationship with that?
My relationship with God above is I usually, I put God first. And also I pray every night.
Uh-huh.
My kids, obviously, they're all baptized.
Like in a Catholic way?
My kids currently right now.
Yeah, I'm saying that's how you pray.
What's your definition of that?
Like, I don't know. Like, I grew up Catholic.
You're talking about saying like seven Hail Marys and seven
All Fathers? Yeah.
I mean, no, I don't say the All Father and I don't say the Hail Marys.
I still do.
I'm not
against it. Is that hot?
I'm not against it. I obviously say those Italian those jokes or whatever that's yeah. there all the time. But no, it's more so like I every night for the most part, I thank God in advance
yeah.
for the abundance, the favor, the prosperity, the promotion. I declare it. I receive it for me, my family, and my future. And then I say that I'm a sinner and that please forgive me for my sins. Although I try not to sin and I try not to make mistakes. Obviously, we're human and we do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I say that every night. And I feel that at the end of the day, Jesus Christ has he has died, right? And risen again for, you know, our sins pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's a real relationship with God.
Yes.
Yeah, she likes a man of God. You're a fucking sinner.
No, I'm gay.
Yeah.
Nah, I get it. Like the first part you were saying was like that can apply to any religion, anybody, of just like the being gratitude and stuff like that.
Yes, I'm big with gratitude.
Yeah, and then the Jesus thing is like a sector of religion, yeah, I feel. Sure. You know,
most
I mean?
People don't know that if they are grateful, okay, in life, okay, for whatever you have, it could be the food in your fridge, it could be your health, your parents, your health. Those little things attract more abundance.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all vibrations.
I just rewatched. Yes,
I'm big into vibrations. Mm-hmm,
me too.
That's what she said. I just rewatched Noah. That was a good movie.
Me too. It was on the other
day.
On
Netflix, right?
It was on the... Yes, I watched it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
have you seen it?
I haven't seen that.
It's a good one.
Noah's Ark. Descendants of Seth.
Seth and Cain and stuff like that. They like made like a Bible story, like Lord of the Rings. They have like these like giant creatures in it.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Russell Crowe was in it.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's on Netflix right now.
And that's how I was like, wow, I'm like the Bible is really just like a.
Have you read it? Like actually?
No, the Bible is just a script for like supernatural, like cool things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you watch it in a supernatural type of way.
Especially the Noah's Ark.
Noah's is crazy.
Oh, long story short, in prison, when I was like really just down, I used to channel like certain, when my wife was walking down the aisle, of how upset I used to be that I had to leave my wife on her first year of marriage and be in prison. Mm. And I used to be upset that my younger self robbed me of this moment.
Mm.
And
I used resentment
to, and my younger self. And I used to always pray and you know, thank God in advance, like I said, for the abundance, promotion, and healing and going forward. And I still obviously do it to this day.
Yeah. Beautiful. I've learned that the resentment thing is big.
For sure.
Because like you were saying that, but you could even be resentful of your own. So like with my therapy, it's all about like I've learned that a lot of the stuff that happens to me is independent of me and uncontrollable. Mm. You know what I mean? If you identify with like the thoughts in your brain and the feelings that you have, you start to be like wrapped up in it. But if you say this is its own independent thing, I have no control. Yeah. It like separates
compartmentalize
you.
Compartmentalize it.
Yeah.
It separates you
instead
from
of having that narrative. I'm like, oh, I always do that. This is.
Yeah. So I'm it's like if it's like, so my therapist, if it's like I'm sad today, it's not I'm sad or it's not I feel sad today. It's like my brain is like sending me a feeling of sadness.
Okay.
Because I didn't choose it. It just happened uncontrollably.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Right?
With that.
So if
sometimes
you,
it happens.
So if you, but if it's different, if you walk around and you're like, I'm sad.
Oh.
Now you're identified with it. But if it's like
that's vibrational.
If you're like, it's not me, it's just like my brain is sad or whatever, I start to like not identify with it as much. Mm. But also, there's another part of it, not resenting it. Not resenting that you have this brain, like you have an addictive brain. If you walked around resenting that, like, why was I born with this or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
I redirected it, you know?
Yeah, but sometimes it's uncontrollable. It's never safe. It can come back at any time.
Oh, no, it's always there.
Yeah, yeah. But just not resenting that part about you, just accepting it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Also, I've read that you should never vocalize anything negative. Like you just said, I'm having a sad day. If you, you know.
That doesn't help.
Yeah, nope. It does not help, you know.
I don't sing negative lyrics
ever.
I
never say anything
negative. Negative lyrics? Mm-hmm. Like what? Like from the top,
that.
Make it drop.
Yeah,
this
I won't
ass
even
pussy.
Any rap songs that are like really negative or weird. I won't say it out loud. I'm really into like my words though.
My wife's is like, she's like, you're an alien. She's like, you 99% of the time, you are negative, never negative.
Yeah.
And anytime there's a crisis, she's like, you thrive in it.
Do you think that's who you are, or you just develop the habit of doing it so much?
what, being positive or thriving in chaos?
Yeah, like being positive and also like not getting like, oh, not getting rattled, like always finding the positive view on things. You know what I mean?
Thriving in chaos comes from my belief in God that I'm never alone, and that belief from above also stems down to me having the belief in myself that if I put in the necessary work and that I can make anything happen pretty much.
Yeah. And that's why it's like important, the shit that you pass down to your kids, because like I want to like pass down those habits to my kids.
Oh yeah.
Instead of a habit that you always have to be afraid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like what happened to me, I think, was I saw them anxious a lot, and that
Parents? Okay.
And even my extended family. And that was like the habit that I was just so used to having. And then I got passed down the habit. Mm. And now like as I get older, I'm like, oh, these are just habits that my brain has developed.
Yeah.
And I have to like now start new habits. And I think that's why people walk around so much freer, because they had like their parents might have, or maybe they just didn't see those habits.
I agree that parents do pass down certain baggage and habits, but also it's your responsibility. It's not your fault that you were raised.
Can't resent it.
Yeah.
But it is your responsibility to rise above and overcome, which I believe you have. You're actually, I can look at you now.
Self-aware.
And your calmness has definitely increased.
Well, you know what's funny?
Over the years.
Calm before?
Over the years, not really. He used to be a little more anxious, maybe, or in certain situations.
Well, it's funny. I still am, but you know, it's just like, it's never, the battle's never over, but it's like, well, I shouldn't say battle, but it's just like having self-awareness to like, you know, just continue to go through the work and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But then I have streaks of time. I have streaks of time where, like when I came back for Jersey Shore family vacation, like I was like a different person. Yeah, like when I was 30. No, when I was 30, I wasn't at all.
Got it.
And then like I go like in and out of it. But back in the day when we were doing that, that was like the first time that like I've ever even been away, you know, for that long, and you know, filming 24/7.
Yeah.
I was 21. This kid was like 29. You know what I mean?
So he's 27.
Yeah. So he like saw a little bit. He lived a little bit. He was like, oh, this is nothing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I was a drug dealer for the show. Yeah. So I was like, let's let it rock.
I'm like, oh my God, cameras.
Let's go.
Yeah, don't look at me. Yeah, I just graduated high school.
But now look at him. Yeah. He is like a showman on stage, whether it's Bradley or Broadway.
Yeah, I was in a off-Broadway.
Broadway?
I was in an off-Broadway play, and the street I grew up on in Staten Island was Bradley Avenue. Uh-huh. So we don't say off-Broadway. I was in an off-Bradley.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then he's in Vegas doing the biggest, most elaborate strip shows for Chippendales.
Known to man.
And then now he's also taken that skill of being on the stage and that knowledge of self now on stage to stand up, which is really, it's amazing because he keeps sort of like leveling up.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, it's tough to inspire me, but that inspires me.
Thank you, sir.
That inspires
me. Wow, that meant a lot.
Yeah.
That meant a lot.
Yeah.
You inspire me too. For the other reasons that I said of, like I said, I'm like, he would be a great guy to have around in a crisis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we also, when we film, it's like, it's very, what's the word we're looking for? Painstaking. It's like, it's grueling. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so to have like a positive figure that's kind of like, he's like the dad of the situation. Yeah, yeah. Like, it feels really good, you know?
How did the show handle you going sober? Were they like, no, because of the character?
I mean, I was a little
worried.
I was a little worried about it in the beginning because, you know, America had loved the situation, who had a six pack and was a ladies' man, and I was just so unpredictable and wild. So I had those insecurities, you know, going back in the beginning. But I had no choice but to challenge myself and level up to find a different level of myself, which was, you know, always inside of all of us, you know?
Yeah.
So I rebranded myself to Big Daddy Sitch.
Yeah.
I was now the funny guy that loved food. Mm-hmm. And also I was the sober guy navigating those streets, going back into clubs, bars, and lounges with my crazy friends. Mm-hmm. I had to do it. There was no like AA or NA book for that.
Yeah.
I had to challenge myself because it was my livelihood.
Reality show anonymous.
And I think I can do it.
Yeah.
And I eventually did it. Now I go to bars, I'm like going on my ninth year of sobriety.
Yeah.
I go to
doesn't even flinch.
I'm probably the most outgoing club in the bar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because it's my personality. And you ask him, he's like, he hasn't really changed. I just know that if I was to ingest alcohol or some sort of substance, I would turn, it would just go past the odometer. It would just turn into something else.
Yeah.
I remember when, remember when you guys did that like E special?
Yeah, 2017.
So like we were off Jersey Shore for a while. I was a nerd doing improv and UCB. And then like they started to like companies started to like try to get us back together. We did like a Burger King commercial. That was like the real first Jersey Shore reunion was the Burger King commercial. Yep. Chicken parm.
Yes.
So that was racist, actually. Like, why we gotta like chicken parm? And then like E did like a reunion thing, whatever.
Yeah. And MTV was a little salty about it.
You want to hear something funny?
They were a little salty.
I wasn't invited to it. They wanted me to like do like a cameo in the T-shirt shop, and whatever they were paying you guys, they were gonna give me like $5,000 or something like that.
I don't remember what they were paying us.
It was probably like $20,000,
and they wanted
to give me like $5,000 because they just saw me as like an extra that was like a cameo on the. I'm like, no, guys, like I was on the show, like I started it and finished it. I was very much a character. Although maybe a little quieter, you know what I mean? But anyway, I said no to it because I'm like, I'm not fucking going to be a T-shirt shop worker.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's not the point. I remember like watching it and I was like, that was the first time I saw like the new situation. And I remember you being like a ladies man. And I remember you looked at your ring and you're like, sorry, late. You were like, oh, you weren't engaged.
I had a girlfriend. Yeah.
He had a girlfriend. He's like, sorry, ladies, like I'm taken. And he said that. And I was like, oh shit. Like this guy just like, cause back then when we said that on the show, we were just like going to cheat like the next day.
Yeah,
it was like stupid relationships. Yeah. Like it didn't make sense. But he was like an older guy now. He's like, so I'm like, wow. Like, I'm like, how is this guy going to do that? How is he going to say that he has a girlfriend? What about all the girls he's going to get from doing this? Like girls was everything, you know? And now I'm in the position where like, I get it because I'm dating more intentionally. Mm-hmm. And I would love to meet the person that I actually stand up in front of all these hoes. And I'm like, sorry, ladies, I got the one.
But you
like, that doesn't fare me at all. What?
You went in a little open, so because you went the three.
No, shut the fuck up. That's another story. You say these blanket statements on the show with no context. Okay, so just stop.
But also,
let me finish my point. No, I was just saying. So I was like, I get it. You know what I mean? Where it used to not be a flex to say I have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then when you reach a certain point, like it is a flex to say you have a girlfriend. Like I would love nothing more than that. You know what I mean?
Same.
Like to go to the Knick game, have my girl with me, and you know, like make TikToks with her. I mean, more than that stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like real actually connection and intimacy, but that stuff's important.
I think you are the energy that you seek.
Mm.
So if we are in a podcast right now, or if we're on TV or wherever we are, if you announce that you're dating with intention or you're looking for Mrs. Wright, whatever it is, that's what will be in your DMs. Okay, so same thing with like my DMs. I'm getting funfetti pictures, you know what I'm saying? I'm getting like, I'm so proud of you stuff. I'm getting like, oh my god, I love your book. That's what I'm like putting out there. Every now and then I'll get a nudie and I'll like show my wife and be like, oh my god, like look at this. I won't respond to it. It just happens because you're famous and on TV. But you are the energy that you seek. So if you put out there that, hey, it's over, I want to get, you know, eventually married and have a family soon, that's what will come back to you.
Yeah, he's right. Because like when you do like the Chippendales of it all and stuff, you get like the strippers and the Vegas girls that are in your DMs and stuff like that.
It's difficult. I thought about like if I was in your shoes, let's just say this particular year. Okay, I just released my book. It took me 2 years to do it. I'm done with it. One of my goals this year, besides maybe make a documentary or movie out of my book, I want to get a beautiful six pack this year and put it on and be like, this is the situation or whatever.
Yeah.
That could come with
attention,
or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Like I told her.
But imagine being Paulie, being in that environment.
Yeah.
and he's trying to settle down with Nikki.
But that's what I was just about
to say. It's like he's a professional. He does it amazing. But imagine like doing those club appearances every night. And we know what happens at those club appearances. Mm-hmm. It's like there's 20, 25 girls waiting to go back to your room every night.
That's yeah. Insane. And he's insane. Loyal.
That's good.
Yeah. I think it's like I was going to say, I said her last time. I said it on another podcast. Like in our position, like we've lived a lot of lives. So like we are kind of weirdly trustworthy in a club or in that position because we're so fucking used to it. A guy that's never experienced that before is going to be like, oh my God.
He's going to make those early mistakes.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, I never had a threesome.
Yeah.
I've had 14 this week. So like I'm fucking used to it. You know what
Also
I mean?
With men, it's on men to decide like what he wants in his life and then women kind of come in. Like a woman can never make you want to be a father or husband. You know what I mean? Like you're like, I'm going
to. Oh, you have to decide first. Everything starts within you first and then spills over.
Yeah, but with women, we're like a little different. Like oh, we can get swayed to be like, okay, I'll have your kid.
Oh, like you know become, what I mean? You know, and still become be loyal. The other person.
Yeah, whereas like a guy's a good father when he's like, I want this. And so now I'm going to.
When his light comes on. Yeah. When his light comes on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is true.
I mean, it happens to all of us. I mean, you know, it happened to me. Mm-hmm. I went through my phase of my wild phase. And then I was lucky to make it out to the other side. Paulie did the same, and I think he's going in that direction.
Yeah.
And now it's it's your turn.
My turn. Fuck that. Orgies all day.
Yeah.
Nah, I slowed down with that shit. I am kind of like sexual, though. Like, a lot of girls I meet are bisexual in the city. Mm-hmm. You know? So, like, I don't know if, like, so okay.
They want two guys?
Yeah, exactly. Doing my bit that you just saw.
I did watch his bit. It was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I know. I got a lot of like, oh, yeah, don't quit your day job. Comedy's not for everybody. I'm like, bro, you saw a 5-second clip.
Yeah.
What could you have learned from that in 5 seconds?
I never listen to the Peanut Gallery ever.
Yes, you do.
15 years.
No, I see you dunking on people.
No. Okay. My newest flex is not blocking the haters. Okay.
I never block.
I'm not going to block the haters. I'm going to let you live there and watch me win some more.
Yeah.
I never block
the
haters.
I only block people that I think are going to report me.
I only block people that make fun of the decor in my house.
So funny.
If you make fun of the decor in my house, you're getting blocked.
He's very serious.
I do not care about anything else. But if you say that my rug should be brown, you're getting blocked.
Yeah.
If you say that like, oh, my friend would have done a better job on your closet. How can you use that person? You're getting blocked.
Yeah.
But if you're like, you are the worst comedian alive, I'll be like, I'll take your approach to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And leave them there. Let it ride. Let them, you know, let them watch you win some more. Once in a while, I will hit them with the restrict button, which means, you know what the restrict button means?
No one can see their shit.
Yes, I mean they can spew all the negativity and hate they want.
Yeah, because
no one sees it, and then you're just like you're the one laughing.
Well, because like if you that's what people like celebrities don't understand. Like if you block somebody, you just made a connection to that person. You just interacted with them.
I had to block you. You get the laugh
in some kind of way. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that girl who was like, "Vinny has me blocked," and then she like got some clout.
She did.
Yeah,
she got clout. Which one? The hairline one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That went famous. That went
viral. I even knew of that.
Mike knows me as the virus god.
What is
that? Over the past couple of years, you know, he calls himself the virus god because a lot of the times. Some of the TikToks and some of the things that he posts,
I'm good at going viral.
He goes viral. Uh-huh. He calls
but Mike switched it to the virus god because everything he says relates to me having chlamydia.
Yes, yes,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
He has a full time stock in his house of
tennis.
Oh yes, 100%. Yeah, that was one of the reasons probably why I was treated so well.
Uh-huh. Well, that could go either way, right? I thought maybe they'd be mean to you.
No, I think they recognized at that particular time I was like 3 years sober. I had gotten married on TV. It was actually on TV, me getting married with my wife. And I think like people started to see like, oh my God, this guy is trying to turn over a new leaf and be a better person. And everyone loves a good comeback story. So when I got to prison, like the guys liked me. So I got perks and I got extra food and I got a specific seat at the lunch table. Sometimes guys will come to prison and they'll try to sit down and like a specific ethnic group will look at you and be like, you need to get the fuck up.
Yeah.
And they have no place to sit. And it's, you know, it's definitely kind of sad, but, you know, it's
kind Sienna of, would have yeah. no place to sit.
I would have no place to sit. The yeah. other.
Because yeah, she's mixed. She's mixed. She'd be like, oh.
Get out. But no, I would.
You wouldn't fit it with the whites no, or the black people.
The Chinese people, I think, would, you know.
Nah, fuck that.
They would.
You can't just claim Asian now.
Yeah, no, the prisons are definitely controlled by various groups.
Yeah, but tell her about
doesn't like you.
Tell about TV time when Double Shot of Love came out.
Oh, hell yeah. TV time is real serious in prison.
Oh, really?
At the time, Double Shot was on, I don't know if it was first, second season or whatever.
It was my dating show.
I know. Pauline. I watched an episode.
The brothers
loved
Double Shot.
Black guys.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
brothers, it was on... they if you cannot mess with the TV or you'll probably get fucked up, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And they will call me in and be like, yo, your boys are on TV, man. It's a good show. They loved it. Yeah.
Yep. See, I'm invited to the cookout.
Yeah. My nigga. Okay.
You can't say that.
Yeah.
I know. It's just weird when she says it because she's
you might
a Kardashian.
You might have to cut that shit out.
Oh no, she's fucking
Oh, she leaves it on?
Well,
she can write out because she's
black.
No, she's black.
Oh, she's black. Oh shit.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
he just started an Asian person said the N-word. That's so
like,
great.
Jingling is going off.
Yeah. he said you might have to cut that out. Oh, that's so funny.
Of all the things that were said.
Yeah.
She does look that. Yeah.
My mom's
it's
black.
A joke of hers.
My dad's white. Yeah. My dad looks a lot like you, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dad's handsome?
Yes.
Yeah. No.
My dad's so hot.
Looks like a Nazi. she's half black, half white. Mm-hmm. She's bisexual and she has a bad back. She's disabled.
She's definitely getting like, you know, when you go into a parking lot and get like a spot, she gets it.
She gets a spot every time.
I have a white guy. It goes full circle.
She's disabled. She's going any spot.
The other night she said her N-word joke on stage before she like announced that she was black. Because like,
isn't that hilarious? Usually, you're going to have to bleep that out.
Oh, yeah. Actually. There's usually you set it up that you're black first, then you do the joke.
But I totally forgot.
But she forgot the first part, and the whole audience was like, did what you just did. They were like, yo!
Yeah.
And there was black people in the audience too. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I was just talking about how.
But it was actually, they were surprisingly forgiving. Like, I thought someone would punch you in
shocked.
The face.
Me too, because it was black people in the audience. I had this joke about how I can't.
I guess an
N-word.
Asian person, if it was a white person, they would punch them. But like an Asian person, it's like, still not good, but it's like, all right, I'm not going to attack the person.
For sure. About how, like, you shouldn't say the N-word if you use white slang. Like, I'm finna skedaddle, niggas, weird. But, and then I just went right into that joke. And then there was black people like, whoa.
Yeah. I was backstage. I was like, oh, fuck. I'm like, I gotta go fight.
Yeah.
She's black.
Y'all, if you were in prison and you said that, you get fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not saying you, but.
I would.
Like, I'm just saying, like.
Yeah.
I'd
be someone's bitch.
Me and Paulie went to visit him in prison. Oh. No cameras.
Yo, they loved him. MVP showed up at the prison. And it really shows, like, when all three of us show up someplace at MVP, people just love our vibe. Like,
yeah.
Whether it's TV.
Dancing with the Stars.
Or prison. That's crazy. The demographic.
Anywhere.
The range on that demographic.
We go to a nursing
wild.
Home. We go to a nursing home.
Did they ask you, like, to sign stuff?
They probably did.
The story of him in prison, of visiting him, was, like, crazy. I'd never visited anyone in prison before.
Paulie had the biggest smile on his face.
It was like, federal prison. It was a little different. Uh-huh. It wasn't like Rikers. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So like you kind of walk up there and like you see like the inmates just like, it was like almost like going to like Ari in Disney where it's like, or no, like the one where the giraffes come to you.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm immersed in this experience. The prisoners are loose.
Yeah. I know
the prisoners were roaming free in the basketball court.
Yes. Yes, he had like that Goodfellas vibe.
I feel like I
could
smell them and touch them.
Yeah,
I'm like, yo, I feel like I'm too close to them. I'm like, do you guys have a handler? Like,
no, you could escape if you wanted to, but you knew that they would chase your ass down. You knew that they would chase you down and it would be worse because next door to you is the barbed wires and the worst prison. So you could escape if you want. But if you decided to do that, you would get sent to the worst prison.
Did anyone try while you were in prison?
I mean, people got Chinese food delivered
to the woods.
Into the woods.
And they'd be like, yo, can you leave my lo mein at that of the yellow tree?
And people would go sneak out to the woods. In other prisons, like they would try to like sneak like prostitutes or maybe even sometimes like
prostitutes.
In the woods or whatever to have sex or whatever. Yeah, in the woods.
Really? How the hell would they communicate that? With a phone?
Sometimes they sneak phones in the prison.
Okay.
They try to sneak phones in the prison, drugs in the prison, pre-workout and protein in the prison. If it ever is found, you're thrown in the SHU, which is a special housing unit, which is like 24-hour lockdown.
Oh, with no windows, that thing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's
just... Yeah. It's like, it really is like Giraffe Manor in Africa. It's like, they can escape, but they're like, no, I like it here. Yeah. Well, not like it, but you know
when
what I mean?
They sent me to prison, a little known fact, which is...
It was like Jurassic Park when they took away the fences. And they were just like wandering around.
In my book, the first week I was in prison, I got so much fan mail that I shut down the mailroom, and I was a little nervous because I'm like, oh, fuck, man, they're going to be
That's why I thought people might hate
you. They might hate me. I think I told you guys. I'm like, they might hate me for this because the most important thing to an inmate is getting magazines and getting mail from your loved ones. Mm-hmm. And I shut it down because I got too much fan mail, which was I felt great about it, but I was a little worried about it.
I used to hit him up on some shit called Prison Link.
Oh yeah,
it
was links.
Core Links. Dating app for prisoners?
No, it was just like an email system. And this motherfucker responded to me like instantly. I'm like,
had computer access.
There was a computer room.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
he was basically at like sleepaway camp.
Yeah, that's how it was. He's a computer of the woods.
Prostitutes. Chinese food.
Pizza in the woods.
Pizza in the woods. Nah, but when we went there, when we went there, like I was like not expecting that, and they weren't like there also was no like metal detector. Like you had to like sign in, but like we said hello to him before I signed in. It was very much like a
he signed you in.
Yeah, he signed me in, you know. I'm like, it's pretty nice up here. No, so we did that, and then we sat outside on like the bench and stuff. Yes. And then like another prisoner was like walking around with like a digital camera.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And he took a picture of MVP. We still have that picture. We'll put it up there. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was great to see him, and like the guy from Fire Festival was sitting over there. Billy McFarlane. He was talking to his fam.
He was there.
Michael Cohen was there later, right?
This is the cool kid prison.
Yeah.
And then also the guy that hacked Jennifer Lawrence's nudies was there.
Yep.
Young kid. He was a young kid computer hacker. I guess he decided he loved Hunger Games and wanted to see Jennifer.
That shit scares me so much.
Yeah. Ooh, your nudes getting leaked?
Just
he won't show me. He won't send me any videos. He'll just be like,
I'll show you.
Yeah.
But not we're going to send them to you.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Nah, I'll never send a dick pic out.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever sent one out either in all my, I you know.
Nah. I don't need my dick in outer space like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not even them sending it. It's like, it's just there.
Didn't Drake just do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't talk about it for a week straight or anything.
Yeah.
We filmed the show. It's all I talked about.
Really?
Because it just happened like that day.
He was in awe of Drake's dick.
I was in awe. I still think it was
that big.
I still think it was a DDL, a Dominican dick lift.
Have you ever met Drake?
Yes.
Yes. Drake.
See his dick.
He was very cool, and he was a fan of the show.
Yeah, Drake's cool people.
Yeah. So, but now we just saw his dick. Yeah.
Is it big?
You didn't see it?
No.
Oh, we gotta pull that up. It was big and floppy. Like at first I thought it was like a prosthetic. Like I thought it was like a joke, but then like it was attached to his balls.
So are you saying do you think he was at full capacity, or is that just the way it was?
Flaccid?
It was like it wasn't full capacity, but it was weird. It's like, how can you have a semi when it's that big? Mm-hmm. Like it was like it was like 80% of it was hard as fuck, and then like the top was like one of those inflatable tubes.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
That was like going like that. Have you ever had that?
The dick like that?
Yeah,
I've had like three dicks.
Shit! Little white dicks.
No, two black, one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh shit!
I told you.
Now I'm intimidated. Fuck.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm good in that department. Ask Mike from our orgies. Okay, you know what I'm saying? He knows all about my dick.
Oh stop, man! His nickname is Soda Can.
Yeah.
So it's short?
Nah, it's not short. Nah. My nickname would be like...
I was like, how big is your dick? And he was like...
I'm like a cactus with no arms. And it's spiky.
Okay. Kind of hot. Wait, I'm picturing it too much. This is weird.
Another funny thing that I get heat for a lot, which I like to clarify. Season one of Jersey Shore, mm-hmm. I was sitting... Me and Mike, you know, we used to have tension with each other. And I remember one day I looked at him and I said,
I never want to be like you.
I said, he would just fuck with me. You know what I mean? He was just like, fuck with me. And I'd be like, I would never want to be like you when I'm 26 years old.
And now fast forward to
today.
Now,
wait. And now I'm 36 years old, and somehow I've become Mike the Situation, yeah, which I don't really see it. In what way? I don't do drugs. Well, I've never been arrested.
Well, maybe not this year.
I've never been to prison.
You're very promiscuous.
Okay, maybe that. That's the only... But no.
And you're a stripper.
And you're a stripper.
But in that moment, I was not saying I'm never going to be promiscuous when I'm 26 years old.
It's addiction, though.
Possibly. I'm not addicted to pussy.
And even in the first season of Jersey Shore, I was just a drinker. I was just wild. You know what I mean? And I was just really into... I guess I was just very...
I don't know what I was referring to back at the time, but I don't know how I got this label of being like the new situation, because I'm not, besides the fact that I was in shape and we used to have sex a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, listen, you know, you happen to be the new situation.
I'm not the new situation.
Why did you have a nickname like them?
That's a good idea. That's a good question. I feel like I might have tried and felt like left out at the time. Actually, I used to... My nickname at the time was Vince Bitch.
Oh.
Paulie still has me in his phone as Vince Bitch.
Wait. You just told us a new nickname from when you were a boy.
Vin Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad used to call me Vin Man. And they made me a jacket that said Vin Man on the back of it.
Yeah.
You know, I used to go in the mall and they used to like embroider things.
Yeah.
I had a hoodie and a jacket. Well, I had a hoodie first. Then we upgraded to the jacket. And I used to wear it to my school, St. Rita School. And I thought I was the man. And then I used to get made fun of the whole time. Oh. And like, but I had balls though. I'm like, fuck you guys. Yeah. I'm wearing my Vin Man jacket. You know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, no, a nickname I think is, I mean, you could tell me how yours became part of the show. But like the producers just never really like, said to me, like, you need a nickname.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Vinny's also, like, very appealing. And
maybe they needed, like, the Italian, like, Vinny kind of name. You know? Yeah. But for you, like, you came in with Situation. They were like, we're calling you the Situation.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because it's better. It's more beneficial for them, too, to have nicknames.
I came into the first casting, and my nickname in college was Mikey Apps.
Okay.
Okay, I would go to college parties, and my friends, to try to get girls, they'd be like, yo, bring out Mike. Show me your apps.
Mm. Oh,
okay. And they just, they didn't look real. They were just very, so ripped at the time and defined. So when I went to the first casting, I told the MTV producers like, yeah, my nickname is Mikey Abs. And they were like, you got anything better? And I was like, actually, I kind of do. The week before, I was just signed to a fitness and underwear modeling agency in New York City.
Gay.
I did. I was like oh my God, like maybe this is the right road I'm on. And to celebrate, I went to the shore with a couple of buddies. And I was totally shredded. I was definitely on MDMA at the time, which obviously makes you even more shredded if anyone knows about that, because it takes the water out of your body. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking around just totally shredded out of my mind. And I'm so happy that I just got signed to an underwear modeling agency. And I walked by a couple and they were holding hands, a boy and a girl. And the girl, as she's holding her man's hands, like, oh my God, honey, look at his abs. And my buddies are just laughing, like, what kind of couple does that?
Yeah.
I mean, besides like a cuck couple, but you know what
I mean? I can get down
and
with
then,
that.
My buddies are like, yo, that's the situation. And I'm like, nah, and I'm just being creative and funny. I was like, nah, this is the real situation. They were saying it in general.
Yeah.
It was the situation. I'm like, nah, this is the situation. So I told MTV the story, and they're like, do you have that trademarked? And at the time, I didn't. But when they asked me if I did, I'm like, yeah, I do. As soon as I walked out of the room, I called a family member. I'm like, how do we trademark something?
That's awesome.
I trademarked the situation.
And isn't it funny that like it would have hit different if your name was Mikey Abs?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Your life would have been drastically different.
100%.
The nickname is, the name is everything of a star. That's why I never became a star.
Yeah.
I'm Vinny Guadagnino.
Yeah, no one can pronounce
it. I'm telling you, Vin Man would have took off.
I know. Yeah. I know. Maybe I should bring it back. My comedy name is Vin Man.
Yeah.
Not coming to the stage, this is Vin Man. Oh, we got Drake's dick. Yeah, let's look at it. It's like, it's on like a loop. So look, doesn't this look like, wait, pause it. Doesn't this look like he's holding a dildo right now?
Yeah.
Like how it's kind of like flopping?
Yeah, but I think
dicks don't do that.
No?
Not when they're hard.
Yeah.
Okay, now he goes like that, and now it's, and now he's, and now I'm like, oh, it's real.
Yeah.
But
damn.
But at first it's just the way it's hanging to the right.
If you were having a threesome and the guy pulled out that.
Oh, yeah, threesome with a... Wait, a guy pulled out that?
I mean, he'd probably bend over and be like, let's go.
Why would I be in a threesome with a guy?
Like how you guys used to. Like, in the guy... It's your guy friend. And I've you're not, like, damn.
I've never had an orgy like that where I'm looking at guys' dicks and shit. Like I said, there's been, like, same room kind of situations. No pun intended.
No, but I mean the girl jumping from dick to dick, and then it's, like, on that, and then it's back to you.
I don't know. I'm pretty good. I'm like a good, you know, like, she's going to need other flavors. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
She's going to need, like, other shapes and sizes. And it's like, that one hurt too much. Like, let me try yours. You know what I mean?
He's like, let me find the right spot.
Yeah, it's like when you're at dinner. You know what I mean? It's like you have a little steak and you're like, I need a side.
Yeah.
I'm like a side.
You're like a little mashed potatoes.
Yeah, a little cream spinach. Anyway.
Yeah. How's your wife doing?
She's doing good. Yeah, she's recovering amazing. I mean, she's...
Tell Lauren we didn't do anything bad.
I'll be honest with you. She's doing amazing. We're doing the 300.
That woman's been pregnant for 7 years straight.
Yes, she has. Yeah, back to back to back. She is a superwoman. When you see her, Vinny, she in 2 weeks...
The bounce back game is insane.
The human body is just unbelievable. She looks so beautiful. I mean, amazing. She's shrunk in size. It's just so crazy. But I will say that my wife is going to watch every single minute of this podcast because she trusts me. She loves Vinny, but I don't know if she
trusts us together
yeah. or the content
in an uncensored podcast. Yes. That isn't controlled.
Like I'm allowed to go to a strip club. With MVP, that would be, she probably trusts Paulie more than she trusts him.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to go to a strip club with them. By myself, I don't do that.
No one fucks at a strip club. You don't got to worry about that. Yeah, that's... You got to worry about going to a real club with me.
There's no need for that. But on our show, we go to strip clubs a lot, and I'm allowed to go with the MVP.
Have you ever been to a sex party?
I actually have.
Really? I have not. I used to...
Those exist here. Gotham City is a weird place.
I didn't have to. I used to...
You had your own.
I had my own.
Me too.
Like, literally, like... Ran them? Like 10 in the room at the same time. Like 10.
And you were alone with 10 women?
Yeah, me and 10, me and 9, me and 7. All the time.
What were the guys' names?
All the time. That's why, like, I've lived 100 lives. I have, like, amazing stories. I've lived a beautiful life, and now I've settled down, and I have this beautiful wife and family. But the stories I have are just... insanity.
Yeah.
Can I read about them in your book?
Yes.
Okay.
You can read about them in Reality Check, Mike the Situation. I think we got to end it. It's been like an hour. Your car is waiting.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. You're my first Jersey Shore cast member that came on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm so flattered. Yeah, this was a very nice, smooth, easy listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we do here.
I don't think you really have to edit much.
That's what we do here. There's a couple parts I'm going to edit.
Pussy.
Do you like Sienna? She's cool, right?
Yes.
She wants me.
Very good. That's
my D.
Interaction. I'm a very seasoned veteran in this business.
Yeah.
I was very impressed by this podcast.
It's chemistry. You know, we know each other a long time. Like, I knew it'd be like super easy, and I told her that too. I'm like, you know, he's the easiest dude to like talk to and shit. So
yeah,
very very fun. I think this is like amazing easy listen for a car or whatever. Good. Plus there was a lot of good bits in the beginning, I thought, as well.
Yeah.
I don't even care. I don't know. All right. Well, love you guys. Thank you. Like, subscribe, follow Mike the Situation.
And
buy his book.
Buy the book, yep.
Reality Check. And you can hear all about the stories in the book. Bye.
Thanks, guys.
What's up, guys? If you like the episode, please make sure to like, subscribe, and comment. We are building this thing from the ground up, so we need your help. And hopefully we can make this really big one day. Love you.